Caution. This podcast is designed for mature audiences. We delve into topics surrounding sexuality and intimate relationships in a candid and open manner. Please note that we are not licensed marriage or sex therapists, and the content shared here is intended solely for entertainment and informational purposes. If you are under 18 years old or prefer not to engage in explicit discussions about sex, relationships, or mature language, we advise against proceeding further. However, if you're of legal age and comfortable with such content, feel free to settle in, grab a beverage, and enjoy this episode. Just remember, time flies when you're having fun. Oh, and the stories you're about to hear are true. The names have been changed to protect the guilty.
Welcome to Beyond Monogamy, where every episode is a journey of discovery, liberation, and endless possibility. Join your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine, as they peel back the layers of convention, inviting you into a world where passion knows no boundaries. Beyond Monogamy, a podcast that transcends the traditional norms of relationships to uncover the raw, unfiltered stories about the lifestyle. And now, your hosts, Roger Johnson and Janet Valentine.
So it's my goal to get through this episode without laughing so hard I pee my pants. Just, that's my goal. Okay, I'm going to start out. Welcome to Beyond Monogamy. I'm Janet Valentine.
And I'm Barbie Sinise.
And Roger's not here yet. He's promised that he's going to join us shortly. So we'll begin this podcast with a review of some of the past podcasts. So if you are just joining us for the first time, welcome, first of all. And second of all, the idea behind this podcast is that the people that we talk to, Barbie, me, Roger, everybody else, some other people, we have been in the lifestyle, swingers are, and sometimes we've been in and out. Some of us are still in it full time. Some of us are retired. Barbie and I both are kind of retired. But it's us having a discussion about lifestyle stories. It's a bunch of friends sitting around talking and reliving the good old times, and then also talking about some of the new stories that we've heard or having different thoughts on them. And here comes Roger. So he's going to jump in pretty quick. As I was saying, this is a podcast that's got us talking around. I think Roger is currently still in the lifestyle, and Barbie is retired, so am I. You guys are the flies on the wall that are listening to our conversation. So the conversation, we're going to pick it back up. If we refer to some things that have happened in other podcasts, then go back and try and listen to them. But hopefully you'll catch part of our conversation. You guys are going to jump in on this. I'll let you, Roger, say hello to everybody and introduce yourself.
Hello, this is Roger Johnson. We're back again. I'm a little lost in our episodes. This is 10 or 11. But if you've been listening to anything, it's heating up. It's getting better. And when these lovely ladies mention that they're retired, don't think like when the Griswolds went to was it Wonder World?
Yeah, Wally World.
Oh, that's so stupid. I hope we edit my brain fart out there.
No reason to edit. We like brain farts. That's all about it. That makes us real.
It's real. Not like the theme park's closed for business. It's just on holiday hours.
Okay. We're on holiday hours. We'll call it retired. Last podcast, a couple of podcasts ago, we talked about a great experience that I had in Paris at a club. One of the other podcasts we had was on mediocre ones. I told a story about one in the United States, and Roger told a story about a mediocre club that you had. What was the name? It started with an M. Mitch's. Right. Yeah. So Roger regaled
mediocre's
us with this story.
Giving it credit.
Mitch's. I think that the title on that podcast is mediocre. Today, Barbie gets to talk and tell us about her experience. And I'm laughing already because I've heard the story, and every time I hear it, it's still the title of this podcast is "You Can't Make This Shit Up."
Amen. Yes, I look forward to talking about this. It's been a while. This was before COVID, and you know, we had been members of a site for quite a while that would tell you about events that were coming up, and we had noticed in a town, once again, because you do travel to go to these things, in a town about 50 miles away, they had opened what they called a club. You know, I have learned they use those terms quite loosely. You know, resort and club is just thrown around. So anyway, they called it a club, but they were advertising like every month, and they had themes, and they had people that were going. So here it was, January, and it was so cold. This was bitter cold, Midwestern cold. And some friends of ours said, why don't we just go down there to that club and see what it's like? It's called the Kit Kat Club. Well, you know, there's a lot of places called the Kit Kat Club, you know, throughout the United States. So I'm not giving away any kind of information. But that's what they had called it.
I'm thinking cute little strippers. What about you, Roger?
My mind went to Vegas. There's a Kit Kat Club in Vegas, and it's a little more than strippers. But now I don't want to take anything away from the story. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, this is unlike any of the Kit Kat Clubs you would probably find anywhere. Okay. So we drive down there. Well, of course, so you take your own liquor, and I'm a beer drinker. So, you know, I just said, hey, it's, you know, seven below. Let's just stick it in the back there.
Before we go discrediting this to hell and back, most lifestyle clubs are bring your own liquor.
Let's keep it. I should have clarified that. You're totally fine.
Go ahead.
And you know, I have a beer that I liked at the time, so I'm all about taking what I want, you know, so that I have plenty, and that's what I want. So, but the funny thing is, we stick it in the back of the truck. So we drive down there, we get down there, we pick up the beer. It's frozen, you know, because that's what happens when you drive 50 miles away. So we can't find the place first. And the community that it's in is not like a suburban area. But we can't find it. Well, then we find an address, and we find a garage. And I mean, this is like a working garage. Like, it has an engine hanging, like you would have a deer hanging in the inside. But the door was shut. Okay, so, you know, it's really cold. Now, the woman and I that I went with, and the couple that we went with, we had dressed up, you know, but I was still wearing jeans. I had just worn some stuff underneath, you know, and she had too. So we walk into the Kit Kat Club. Well, the Kit Kat Club is a garage, and there are probably a dozen people there or so. And there's a poker table, but they have one of these things for heat. They have something called a salamander. And I don't know, it's this giant furnace that's making this loud, almost like jet noise. And so, you know, you can't really visit with people. We don't know anybody. Hi. I don't know. I think there was maybe a membership fee of some sort, so that was paid. I decided to go set my beer over close to this salamander so it would thaw out.
Wait, and salamander, what is a salamander?
That's this heater, this giant heater. They call it a salamander. I don't know why. It's just a big round, and it's got a glowing edge, and it just blows hot air. Because
so it's like you see it on the football fields, is that right, Roger?
Probably.
You know, those the big things have they have in the football player before? Stand in front of it. Well, yes.
Maybe.
Is this a Southern thing?
No, I'm going to Google it.
It's on football. It's on football. I've seen it called a salamander on football.
Yeah,
because the football guys will stand in front of it. Right?
The problem here, though, is you were inside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we were inside a garage that was shut.
That didn't work, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So I look around at the other people that are there that we do not know, that really nobody's other than the one gentleman, I think, that is the curator of the Kit Kat Club, came up and said something to us. So I'm standing. It's so cold. And so I'm standing. It's really close to that salamander. And one of the gals comes up, the one I had come with, and she says, and my husband's right here. And she said, you better watch out or your pants may catch on fire. And I looked at her and I said, I should be so lucky. Because that is exactly how I felt in this moment in time, in this huge, it's a huge garage, but this thing is still inside. Okay, so the beer thaws out. We're gonna make a good time out of it. You know, we're gonna make a good time because it's attitude. A lot of this is attitude, and the fun is what you make it. So pop open a beer, because if I have a couple of those, I'm gonna have a good time. I'm drinking and I'm talking to the people we came with, because again, nobody's really approaching us. But we can overhear their conversation a little bit. And I've moved away from the salamander because my mirror's thawed out, you know. Well, the guy opens up this door. He has a cabinet on the wall. And he opens up this door. And I shit you not, he had this thing that he made. And it was called the Wheel of Sex. And it was a homemade wooden wheel that he had mounted on a door with a little flapper. And he had nails, you know, around the thing. And he wanted everybody to spin the Wheel of Sex. And then it would say, blow job, or suck your nipples. I don't know. It just said really stupid shit to me. I was just like,
it's not digital. It wasn't digital or anything. Was it like,
no, it was written with a Sharpie.
Sharpie.
Oh no, honey, we're in the Kit Kat Club now. So it was written with a Sharpie marker. I did not check the spelling. I just saw it. I knew I was not going to participate in that. And at this time, I have to go to the bathroom. So I'm thinking, okay, where is there a bathroom? Because they do have a house, which I discover as I overhear their conversation, that they have family members in the house that don't know they're having this party, which I found very odd. Hard to believe. Okay. But, you know, it's like 7 below. So, yeah, nobody's coming out until the salamander. Are we talking about like
an 80-year-old grandma that doesn't know you're having the party? Or are we talking about a 2-year-old child that doesn't know you're having the party?
You're doing your friends
some sandwiches.
Yeah. I cannot tell you. I just know that the house bathroom was not the one I was to use. Okay.
Okay.
So they had set up a bathroom for the party. And I had noticed when we walked in, but I didn't even pay attention to it too much because, again, this was a very large garage. There was a teepee over, like a hunting blind that was open and put up in the corner. And it really was like a teepee. And it was all camouflaged. And so they said the bathroom is in the teepee. And so I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I've not done this before. So I go in there and there is this square thing that the lid is up. So I can see what it is. It's a toilet. And I'm not naive. I know it's a camping toilet, but I don't know anything about them. I'm not a camper. I'm a concrete person. So, but I also know that if the amount that I have to go is going to overflow this thing, okay? So I open up the flap and I want to get my friend, I'm going to call her Margie. I want to get Margie to come over to me and help me. What am I going to do?
Was this a camping composting toilet?
This was a little square thing that you had to squat down on. And as I didn't know at the time, like there's something that pulls out and you're able to urinate and then you push it back in.
Oh,
and then
for
it kind of holds.
Sake. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it doesn't splash all over. You know, I did not know any of this at the time. Okay. So I got to go. And I'm really afraid that I'm going to overflow because I don't know anything about this pulling this thing out. Okay. So she comes in and she's pulling it and she's like, no, it's supposed to pull out. I've had these camping toilets and it won't do it. Well, it's frozen. It's frozen. So she says, you're going to have to pee a little bit to warm it up.
I and then, a little bit
stop.
The beer
you had. Oh my God. Stop. Oh yeah. Yeah. After drinking, you know, the 16-ounce Miller Lite, two of them. So I'm like, no, that's 32 ounces. It's going to overflow. And I don't think I can hold it while we wait for it to thaw. And then we're able to open the thing. I mean, here we are and we're in a teepee. And let me just say, you know, both she and I are not, we don't shop in the petite department. Okay. So, but we're in here and she's helping. So it worked. It worked. Whatever her magic was, she was able to pull it out. She left the teepee. I was able to relieve myself gladly. And then you push it shut. Well, I wasn't going to drink any more beer. I was like, okay, but then what happens now? And everybody was, well, you don't worry about it now. Somebody else, you know, I don't know how any of that works, but that's what it was. So we come out and they said, do you want to see our sex cabin? Sex shed.
Okay.
I mean, everything else has gone so great up to this point. Why leave something to the imagination?
He can't wait to show it. And it's really, I got to tell you, it's like a little garden shed.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cute. He had a swing hanging there, you know.
So they took the she shed.
Yes. Yes. And since it was a small little thing, they had electric heaters all around. So the little place, the little shed was warm, probably still very unsafe, but it was warm. So you could take your clothes off because that's where you were supposed to have sex. You're not doing it in front of the salamander. It's too fucking cold in there. And you know, I'm still traumatized by the whole toilet and I'm wearing thigh high hose and
everything. Do you run out naked to spin the wall of sex? Spin the wall of sex and then run back in?
I did not. I was not spinning. I had seen what I was going to spin for. And I didn't want to spin for any of it. Okay. But I will tell you. So we go to the shed. And the other couple's with us that we went with. And he is in the construction trade. So he notices that there are toys all over. I mean, this guy, he's trying. This is a club. This is what he wants to do. This is the Kit Kat Club.
Oh, God. I've got a ramp building. Finish your story. I'm feeling so fucking triggered. Finish your story. I am enjoying your story.
In the little she shed, there's a hard wooden bed that has a mattress that they put on it. Well, it's a sheet. Okay. There is the swing. And then there was another, I think, hard wooden thing over here. And then toys were on places around. Well, the guy that's our partner that went with the construction worker, he picks up and it's a saw. And on the end of the saw is a dildo. And he says, or look at this, because he's thinking it's like a drill, but he knew what it was, but it was a sawzall, you know.
Yeah,
I guess that's what they're called. Well, the dildo goes flying across
flying.
It's the wall on the other side. So we're just laughing. What was underneath?
Was it a blade that was underneath? Who would do this? Who would put this anywhere near their pussy? Okay.
I didn't even pay attention from that moment on. I laughed my ass off so hard. Yeah. And so they have all these toys and stuff. And there are some other women there. And I think Margie she's in the swing. And so I, of course, you know, by this time I've had enough beer. And I do believe I peed outside that time. I think I just went outside and peed.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I'm a country girl. Yeah. You know, I just contradict saying that I'm not. But that time I did.
Well, you were at least forced to be in this instance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I went back in there, and you know what? This is who I am. Okay. So my success rate, and Janet and I have talked about this at length, is on how many loads I can get. You know,
right?
What can I get? That's the game to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want them on top of each other. I want it stacked. I want you cannot be a pussy. You got to be able to, you know, you're getting sloppy seconds. You're getting sloppy thirds. If you want my heart, you're giving me a sloppy fourth. So, so I got three loads, man, just like that, And it was,
if you can wade through enough loads, my heart for you is at the end.
Making the best of the situation. If there's those people there, you gotta fuck them, because the best thing there is the fucking, right?
It's not the atmosphere. And hey, I ended up, and I've said this all along, I ended up having a really good time. I didn't care who was, you know, hey, how are you? And then he was off, you know, and it was like, oh, here comes the next one. I mean, it was like he was in line. That was rock star, you know. That was so much fun. So I had three loads, and I was like, come on, baby, let's do that again.
Was everybody else acting like this was perfectly normal and good, you know?
The guys that weren't playing with me, or there were a lot of women that did not join us in the she shed. But the one, I think there were two that did. And then there were some people in there actually playing cards in the garage. Gosh. They never played. Because we were done. I mean, I had
cards, Janet.
Yeah.
Cards, Janet. Done. A fucking card game. God.
Yeah. No, you know, at my house, this would not work. If I walked downstairs and there were people at my party that were playing cards, I'd be like, get out! Unless it was strip poker, and then it better be something advanced strip poker.
Right.
So anyway, I ended up with three, and I do believe Margie ended up with a couple, and we were just like, rock on, and I think they watched. I don't know what happened, but We laughed all the way back. I mean, all the way back to where we live. We've laughed about it for years and years. This is way before COVID. it just tells you, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge a club by its name.
Yes. But just because it calls itself a club doesn't mean it's a club.
Oh, they use the term loosely. Loosely. But as I said, you know, when you're a true perv, and I am, I mean, I've owned it for many years.
Can't make this shit up club is going to be good if fucking happens in it. Right?
Yeah. And I mean, I got what I wanted. So. And they were fast. I liked it even better. It was like,
oh, I love it when they don't take their time and they just go fast. No. 1, 2, 3.
I mean, they were on it, and they were like, whoa, I think they hit the jackpot.
All right, Roger, it's your turn to ask your stories. You want to rant? Go ahead and rant. It's your turn.
Let's dial. We're gonna pull this story apart, and not that there's. Just bear with me here. So what did, this club
mm-hmm.
advertised on said lifestyle website. What
yes.
What did the ad say?
Like, well, you know, I mean, they had their name and they had a monthly party and they would say, you know, bring your own or we provide snacks. And they mentioned that they had toys provided, you know, plenty of atmosphere, plenty of room.
Atmosphere. Never mind the new, the tire smell, the dirty oils.
I was going to say, so that was my exact question. That was my exact next question. Is this was in a inn or on a side room or back of or shared the same concrete foundation as a mechanic shop? Could you smell the used oil and grease?
Oh yes. You couldn't not. And
oh my god,
this salamander thing is going. You know, this big red glowing. I mean, so it sounds like it's a jet engine.
I'm glad I Googled it. Okay.
It looks like a jet engine. It does. That's a good analogy. It looks like an open jet engine.
I was thinking it was one of the ones that had a fuel tank, and it's not. It's electric with a fan, electric coil, so it is safe for indoor use. Okay. I thought it had a fuel tank. Those are not made for indoors.
Oh, no.
I had such a bad hangover the next day. No, it's carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah.
I'm a klutz, though. And so, like, I know if I were there, I would have burned something. I totally would have burned a hole in, like, my stockings. It would have probably been my favorite pair of faux leather pants or whatever. I would have had a big asshole from the salamander because my ass would not be moving away from that warmth.
So, off the top,
but let me tell you, before I had the beer and before I had seen the she shed, and I'm standing there, that was the line of the night. You know, when they said, your pants are going to catch on fire. I should be so lucky.
Did they have music playing?
Oh, no. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear anything.
Because of the heater.
Yeah.
Salamander. Yeah.
It was
So let's try to figure out how big this shed was. So what size bed was in it?
Oh, these were not beds. Yeah. These were like shelves or something that he had built in the shed. And then
a platform with the mattress?
Yes. Yes. And I don't even think it was like, it wasn't a mattress. It was just a lot of cushion.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I mean, the size of a queen or king?
Oh, no, twin at the best. At best, because there was two of them. And then the swing was in the middle. And then,
all of those people who have not listened to the first Barbie episode where I talked about how she's 6 foot. Okay, you need to come back and listen to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's I had to have my, okay, if we're getting into this, you know, my ass had to be on the edge of the cushion at the very edge of this thing,
right?
Because I couldn't have laid down on it. And then whoever was fucking me, they had to have my legs up on them, you know, or holding my legs up because I didn't have any, there wasn't anything for me to put my legs on. So I just held them up and held them apart.
go ahead, Janet. I'm sorry.
I would have grabbed some guy and said, okay, you need to fuck me, come inside of me, and then just lay here and keep me warm in the corner.
Oh, it was warm in there, remember? They had all these electric heaters.
Let me stay in this warm room with you, okay?
But when I saw, I gotta tell you, when I saw there was another one and another one, I was like, they want to fuck me too.
Okay. All of a sudden, the place is getting better.
Come on, bring it on. Yeah. You know, if you're going to not make it a job or you're not, no. And you're going to give it up. You're going to give it up.
If what I'm picturing is close to accurate, it doesn't surprise me that they were lined up for you. Because they get lined up for you at a great party. The difference is they're still talking about that night that 6 foot big boob redhead came, and why hasn't she come back?
Yeah, we didn't. We never went back.
we've been talking about we've been talking about doing future episodes and talked about toys, which, and so I'm just gonna put a paperclip on this Sawzall that the dildo came loose for the toy episode, and yes. and but everything else is, and you know,
I mean,
I'm organizing my rant right
we
now.
Thought we broke it.
And so our next,
it was Margie's husband's fault, right?
Yes,
our next
fault. Zing!
Our next two episodes are gonna be about either toys or what it takes to host a successful party.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Introducing Coconut Slickums, the ultimate personal lubricant that brings a touch of tropical paradise to your most adventurous sex party moments. Made from 100% pure coconut oil, Coconut Slickums offers a silky smooth glide that's as natural as a unicorn breeze practicing the rule of six or DP. No more worrying about synthetic ingredients or greasy residues. Just a luscious moisturizing experience that feels as good as it sounds. Perfect for enhancing intimacy or just adding a bit of luxurious fun to your day. So go ahead, indulge in the tropical treat your skin deserves with Coconut Slickums. Because when it's this smooth, it's always a perfect day at the meet and greet. To learn more, visit beyondmonogamypodcast.com.
Let's get back to hearing from the guilty.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you I've hosted a great party. I'm not going to tell you I've hosted the best party. I've hosted successful parties. Janet has hosted phenomenal parties.
Amen. Now,
you know, and I think what you want out of a party, there can be some room there, but I mean, I think everybody kind of has the same end goal, but we're not talking about hosting a party. This guy started a club in a goddamn mechanic shop.
Amen.
With a shed out back.
You got to give him some ingenuity.
Oh,
and if it wasn't, I'm assuming that they had a circle of friends that hung out at this shop late at night and drank and ended up bending each other over the fenders of cars or something and found the sound of a raging fucking heater romantic or erotic or something.
Well, I really think,
no,
maybe I think since it was like $20, I think we had to give them $20.
If you
I think
were they bent over moaning in that shop and moaning with the sound of the heater, maybe those combined made a glorious sound. I don't fucking know, and I'm betting it didn't.
It didn't.
Now, would I have gone? Yes. Would I have been about the adventure? Yes. Would I have done the same thing you did? Was just do what I can to salvage the night and make the best of it? Yes. And I high five you for that.
Oh, yes. I'm such a hoe.
Toilet in a teepee, though.
Toilet in the teepee. Had to be one of our favorite ones too. And where Margie had to come and help me because it was frozen. And then I didn't know how this whole thing worked. I still don't. Where, you know, because apparently, because I, yeah, yeah.
If,
yeah, to, it was.
I admire the guy for wanting to do it, but whoever told him this was a great idea, if his friends did, he should get new friends. And if at no point did his friends say, you know, maybe we should just move this into town and get a real nice hotel room, then he still needs new friends.
My
whole thing is, if I'm gonna pay $20, I need to have running water somewhere.
Amen.
Because I all I can think about is I would want to wash my hands so bad after coming out of the teepee. Because, you know, they've got beer and pee and everything else on it. And, I know that you're going to go around and play with these guys. But if any of them had to pee during this time, They had to have pee on their hands. And I'm not a Michael Jackson, you know, germaphobe stuff. But at the same time, come on, let me wash my hands. Okay.
Yes. Or
wash something. That was my whole issue with the club in Amsterdam. One little gas station sink is not going to be it, especially if I paid you 60 euro. Okay. No.
Yeah.
What pissed.
I want to point out that, you know, Mitch's didn't come into this podcast as a mediocre club, but after Amsterdam and the Kit Kat Club out in BFE, it is a mediocre club.
Yes.
it would represent just in these stories, nothing to get. If anybody is in that area, I'd tell you to go to Mitch's. That place has, like I said, that place has so much character. But
right.
It also has the minimum of what it takes to be a successful club. It has running water. It has a men's right. and women's bathroom with fucking doors that shut and not a goddamn tent or sheet or teepee draped over or hunting blind or whatever the fuck this guy. Oh, I can't. I don't get it.
You can't make this shit up, you know?
You cannot make this shit up. I think our next episode does need to be toys, because I got toy stories to start with and some other toys and those other things. I think that's it. I think we need to talk about kink shaming. I wanted to switch forward just a little bit, because we're still, as we are recording this podcast, the Olympics is still going on, and there is the controversy over the French pole vaulter.
Oh, okay. Well, for anybody who's not following, I follow the Olympics, but I don't know a controversy on the French pole vaulter. Give us the background.
Oh, well, then you're not on Facebook enough, or you haven't talked to a woman. This guy is doing the pole vault, and his dick is so big that it's the pole. It hits the top pole and knocks it off. Okay, granted, his shoulder hits it a little bit too, but what's really in slow motion, the size of his dick. So over the internet right now is the size of his dick knocking that pole off. And so I was telling Barbie before you came on, and we were getting ready to film all this, to record all this, that I belong to a couple of women's groups, and the pictures of this guy and his dick, and then the pictures of the Italian diver and his dick. So I think we need to do one on dick size, and I definitely have some stories for that. And they're too long for now. I mean, we're going, they're a whole episode. But I do believe we need to have a discussion about dick size, because there's a couple of fallacies that are out there. And
for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, Roger's like, I wonder how I compare. I'm looking at his face and he's thinking to himself.
No, I'm like, I wonder if I have anything to add to this conversation. And when we do it, I'm good. When we do it, it'll be centric to you guys, of course. But
right.
I have a short story to open that conversation with when we get.
If you want to talk about it now, we've got about 20 minutes. If you want to talk about it, if you want to do your short story, or we can talk about Detroit Don and his big dick that you guys all know
the,
about.
I'm just like, can you imagine that French pole vaulter walking into the locker room after that? I'd have that thing like half hard poking out, swinging, and just go strutting my ass in. Just now everybody knows I'm the big dick in the locker room, and be like, oh, I don't know what happened. Guess I got the silver this year.
I hate it when that thing gets in the way. That thing just gets in the way.
Because there's Detroit Don on his profile He's a bluefish, and on his profile on C4P or SLS, one of those sites, there's a picture of him naked with a towel hanging off of his dick as the towel holder. And it's real. This was before Photoshop. This was definitely before that. Okay. This was back. I mean, we're talking about 10 years ago, right? 8 years ago. And yeah, you've met him, Roger. In fact, you commented about one of the first times that you met me, what you heard me saying to him. Do you remember?
I know Detroit Don, yeah.
Okay, so you need to relay to Barbie the first time that you heard of me in the party and what I said.
Well, the short story I would open with is, you know, I was before D, I was married two times before. And neither of them acted like there was anything significant about my dick. And I thought, so I come into this third marriage and I'm just like, you know, at best I'm average in a room of average people. And Dee looked at me like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? You're serious. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, don't worry. The more we get into this, the girls are going to love you. And I'm just, and one time I was just like, hey, why are you sitting here putting me up on a pedestal like that? You know, she was like, I can't believe that. She's like, and she started just showing me different perspectives. She's like, and just going profile after profile, like, look, see how she's holding that. See how she's holding that. Here, look at my hand on yours. See the difference in the picture. And I'm like, she's like, that's how you can tell. And I'm like, maybe, but Detroit Don, and if, you know, the thing with me is I'm a grower, so if I haven't grown yet, and I take my pants off, there's just not a whole lot to get excited about.
Oh, but it's easy to excite.
I'll admit, from soft to hard, I've compared it to like the Hulk movies. But it's I'm in the grower category. I think Detroit Don is in the shower category, I think.
Definitely.
Unbelievable.
So you know, when in comparison, when he takes his pants off, it's like they break his waist, then you start seeing some dick, and as they slide down, you're just seeing more and more and more and more, and you're halfway to his knees and more and more, and just yeah, damn. If you're a guy in a room and everybody's just, I'm secure enough in my masculinity to admit that I noticed it, then I looked over and saw it, and then I couldn't look away, and it had nothing to do with me loving dick.
Exactly.
It was just like, what the fuck is that?
Exactly.
And so Dee and I were both at Janet's house, and she's walking from one room to another, either just got done or just getting ready or kind of both, depending on how you just think about it. We were all busy those nights, but she said something like, as she's walking and it's across the room and echoing, Don, you know, I can only take you in the ass because of how big your dick is. And I looked at D and was like, I'm nowhere near pro. I'm only like a solid amateur. She's fucking pro. She's gone pro.
I remember that. I remember her saying those words.
I looked at D like, do you think you're pro? Where are you putting his dick?
It's true. So in my defense, so I have a cervix still. Okay. So the whole big deal is, can a big dick be too big? And the answer is yes. Okay. Yeah. The dick can be too big so that sometimes big dick guys don't know what to do with it. Okay. And so they're like, look at this big dick. They want you to suck on it. Well, I can only get halfway down. Okay. Because it's so big, it's not going to fit into my mouth. And if you think I'm going to be one of those people that you see those balloons go down their throat, that's not me. I'm taking that big monster down my throat. And so I have a cervix. So whenever Detroit Don says he wants to fuck me, and the first time he started to fuck me was vaginally, he's banging into my cervix. Okay. And so this is not a good feeling. It's just not. All right.
No,
so you've got to say to them, you know, and I said to him, look, I appreciate that you're trying to do it this way, but I think we need to go the other direction. And I have been taught with the help of Barbie's husband,
God bless him,
to get out the coconut oil, lube myself up, have Detroit Don lick around down there and make the blood all go and get me real big and happy and excited and stretchy, and then go in my ass. And the thing is that you hit the G spot on the other side. Okay, when you fuck somebody in the ass, you actually rub over the G-spot on the other side. And if you can get past the initial discomfort and let things relax, it's good. It's good to the point of humming good.
Okay, and so just how fucking deep is that damn G-spot? I mean, are we talking about the tip touching and tickling, or I'm picturing lumberjacks sawing a log on each side of a
over it.
Back and forth.
I have no idea how big that G spot is or how small that G spot is. I don't know. I just know it's there. And I know that with Detroit Don, that was the only way for him to, you know, really get to fuck me for a while. And he was happy, I was happy, and he came in there, and then I got to go back and say to Barbie, I got one.
I know, because you know, when it's dripping out, that's really hot.
It's dripping out your ass, and so it's even better.
It's so hot. Yes. It takes great pictures. I'm telling you, it looks hot.
It does take great pictures, and it's wonderful. And then here's the deal is, I know we're gonna do an episode on kinks. Barbie's husband will come in and clean it up. And that's even hotter.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, but that's the dick size is not always it's some guys with big dicks don't know what to do with them. Now there's some guys with big dicks that are very skilled with them, and then they know what to do with them.
At some point, when Steve and the librarian get on here, that's still an unanswered question, an unsolved mystery on her part, because she did take Don. I saw them getting at it doggy style, and I looked over, was like, hey, I didn't know she took it in the ass, and at the time, she didn't. He was just whop, 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 right in her pussy. And so I was like, wait, you know, I asked her then, and she just kind of giggled. But I'm like, hey, where did that go? How did you do that?
You could have seen it in her throat.
And I was going to, one of the qualifiers of dick size is, if you're going to do a DP, now for those little flies on the wall who don't know what a DP is, that's double penetration. Okay. That a double penetration, a DP is traditional DP is the guy is laying on the bed. The woman is straddling him and his dick is in her pussy. She's on her kind of knees a little bit, and then her ass is in the air, and then another guy comes behind and fucks her in the ass. So you have one dick in the pussy and one dick in the ass. Now, there are some women that can take two dicks in the pussy. It's all going to depend upon dick size, okay, and how elastic their pussy is, okay? That one's not me, all right? But to do a DP, you have got to have a big dick guy going in the ass. It doesn't work with a little dick.
That's right.
Okay. That's, so
it's awkward. It's weird. I think people do it because they see it in porn movies.
Right. They want to do it. It's a guy's fantasy. Right.
In real life, it's really awkward. And it's not because it hurt. Not that part. It's just getting two guys that can get any kind of rhythm at the same. Oh no, they're too afraid. Sometimes their dick is going to touch or something.
Sword touching. Yeah, they're afraid of the accidental sword touching. It's a fantasy. Guy. There are very few women who say, "Yes, I really want to do. Yeah. I this is my fantasy." It's typically a guy's fantasy. Now, I am a people pleaser. You know this, so I will try to help them please. People pleaser, and so Steve was one of the people. He has a pretty decent sized dick. Okay. There's was this other player at the parties, and we'll call him the doctor. Okay. Cause his profession was doctor. His profession was OBGYN. Okay. But for an OBGYN, this guy had ballot. Okay. Of sex when he first started playing with us. he was like, the doc was like a puppy that had come to that you had in the kitchen that would run across the floor and slam into the refrigerator and then run back and slam into the cabinet and stuff. That's how this guy was at the party. He was so excited to have found the lifestyle, and he was so excited to find friends, and he wanted friends in the lifestyle, and he wanted to be part of it. And he was not necessarily really good looking or anything, but again, give the guy points for attitude. He was so happy, and his wife was so into it, and they had found this new beginning, the doc. And so when I first met the doc, and he we had played with them individually, and then they'd come to the parties, he did not believe that a woman could squirt. Okay. He did not believe in squirting. And I was like, I don't know what medical book you've written, but I've seen it. Okay. You know, like I have seen a woman hit artwork in a hotel room. Remember this, Barbie?
Yeah.
Hit artwork in a hotel room shooting with an arc spray. Okay. So I know it can be, I know that it happens.
Oh, it happens.
So,
yeah.
And so the first time, and he's like, it's just piss water. And then the first time it happened, and he's like, oh, this is not piss water. He's like, oh, this happened. And then when his wife did it, he was like, okay, all right. This is, and so I was like, I don't know what they're teaching you in med school, but they probably should make y'all come to a party. Okay. He just wants to see some of the things that are possible. All right. Well, and this gentleman, for being a bigger type, let's say, XL shirt or double XL shirt kind of guy, you know, he was not very well endowed. Okay. Now I can say this because it's my ex-husband. One of the smallest ones I've ever had was my ex-husband. Okay. Was really not endowed at all. I get to say it. He's my ex. Okay. If he ever listens, too bad. It shouldn't have happened. Anyway. So this guy was not very well endowed, and he told me that his fantasy was to do a DP. And so I said, okay, we'll try and make it happen. So I tap Steve and say, hey, Steve, Doc wants to do a DP. And we were at our party, we go into one of the playrooms, and we were on the daybed, and Doc says, I'm going to be the one coming at you from behind. And I say, it's not going to work. Okay. I'm sorry. I know this is your fantasy, and I don't really bust your bubble. I don't want to bust that balloon at all. But if we're going to do this, the only way this is going to work is you got to be on the bottom.
Okay. Yeah. And Steve has to be behind. And then we did it. Now, this leads me to a story I was going to tell you guys anyway. Remember Steve and the librarian? You can go back and listen to that podcast of the first time we met him, and the librarian wasn't even sure she wanted to play and all that other good stuff. They had advanced so much that we're in there trying to get this DP done, and we're concentrating, and stuff keeps sliding around, and I'm trying to make it sexy, and I'm trying to make it stuff. And all of a sudden, somebody says, "Is this my sweet tea?" And I look over, and it's the librarian. And I'm just like, oh my God, can you like just ruin this mood? We're trying to get this fantasy done, and you're asking for your sweet tea. Is this my sweet tea?
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's classic. Always again, you can't make that.
You can't
make that. You're in the heart of it. You think she'd want to come in and see it, but no. Is that my tea?
Her husband's doing the DP with me. We're trying to get it done. She knows this is Doc's fantasy. And what's on her mind is this my sweet tea? Let me grab it and go. Never mind me.
Oh, my God.
You guys will get it done. Never mind me. Whatever. You got breaking the mood. And so that's dick size comes into play a little bit on that DP.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because otherwise, whatever they're doing in the movies and stuff, I mean, they make it look like it's super easy to do. It is not. No. It is not.
The porn stuff, it's. I could not be a porn star. No. I could not.
Well, maybe in my younger days.
I used to think that, and then don't ever film yourself, because if you film yourself, you look I look terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, way younger. I actually looked good at some point back 40 years ago.
I got a couple friends with some that are doing some OnlyFans accounts, and I I'll see them at parties. I'll joke with them like, "Hey, hit me up. Let's make some content." and they're like, "Oh, okay, deal, follow up. Don't worry, I'll help film it or direct it. You know, let's do this." And now I'm like, I didn't think about that. I hope Dee's filming. She'll get a good camera angle.
One time we did do, Barbie and I did do something with, was it Detroit Dawn that we did something with?
Yeah.
We did do something that was filmed with Detroit Dawn. His face wasn't in there. Our faces were covered and stuff. We did do stuff. Yeah. And the thing is, when you just look at us, we're just the ladies. It's the dick that somebody who's watching that goes, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
Look at that schlong.
Yeah. And we were pretty good about whoever was filming at the time. It'd be like, you're not seeing your face. They'd film it from, so your tits are here, and then, there's his big dick and your legs are spread out, and Janet would be, she's always wearing something cutesy too, thigh highs and all that, and myself, same thing. So then you put that giant schlong there, and nobody
both,
cares.
We're both really, really white. Like, we're both really, really white. Oh. dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So
he's,
it's a fabulous contrast, brown trash, right? Yeah.
And for those of you out there, you know that his name is really not Detroit Dine. And I got to tell you, because in real life, if he would get outed that he was doing these parties, he would be in so much trouble. That guy has his master's in social work, and he does wonderful work with at-risk children, at-risk families. And he, again, as Roger said, if you have a high stress job, or if you need to release, if you have something going on in your job, these parties are the way to just let go of time, let go of all other worries and inhibitions, and just feel the adrenaline and feel the pleasure. And so he does it.
You know me, I come in smiling. I'm happy to see everybody, and and I know what I'm there for. I remember a party. I'm trying to think of who it was, and it might have been the librarian, but I can't remember. I can't remember the party or the person. If it wasn't the librarian, it was somebody who kind of had a similar demeanor. But I walked in and they you know, kind of hug, little kiss, and just kind of kept that half hug, hand down my chest, like, "How have you been?" And I said, "You know, I'll be honest, it's been a rough week or two." And I said, I'm wound tight. And I said, what did I say? I'm feeling primal and aggressive. And she sat there a second. And I guess that whoever it was, it might have been her, whoever it was like, oh. And it wasn't like like scared. It was like, and they grabbed me by the hand, pulled me right to the bedroom.
Let's go. That's the sign. That, you need a good fucking, you know, let's go.
And yeah, and it was just dropped down and was blowing me and said, "Go as hard as you want."
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't hate you, but it's going to feel like it. I can't remember who it was, dang it. But it might be because it's happened more than once, but
anyway. You're right about the high stress job and the ability to just live in the moment.
And just live, yeah,
in that moment. Yeah.
Right.
It's powerful.
So, you know, and I have no idea. So our next episode, we're going to probably do toys, and then we're also going to talk about kink shame. But I think it's all that it's what is really good about the lifestyle. And this is something that you've said for a long time, Barbie, is that the friends that you make in the lifestyle, they are the best. And the reason is because they've been there with you to release the stress. They don't judge. It's not, you know, you it's all about sex, which we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about grandkids or ailments or children or, you know, whatever the stresses of your job are. That's not at this party. And playing cards is not at this party.
No cards. No.
Unless it's poker and it's strip poker or whatever.
And right, even that's a stretch.
Even the wheel of sex, you know, at least you could not use a Sharpie marker.
Right. And, you know, anyway, so that's for other episodes. I think we're done with this one for the day. And my goal was to not laugh so hard I peed, but it happens.
So, it's so funny. That's a great way to end it. I got to go myself.
For those of you who want to request episode, have topics you want to talk about or want to just bitch at us or kink shame us or whatever it is, you can find us at beyondmonogamypodcast.com. Our contact information is there. Leave a tip for Mandingo if you get a chance. Throw him a few bucks because this guy does this so far for no money and puts it up there. I understand we are now going to be up on Amazon as well as YouTube, Apple, Spotify. Tell your friends on the down low, and hopefully we get more flies on our wall. And next time, I think it's time to talk about toys.
Toys next time.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. And have a great week. Talk to you later.
See you later. Bye-bye.
That's it for this episode of Beyond Monogamy. We hope you enjoyed our podcast, and we look forward to having you back again for the next episode of Beyond Monogamy.